Good morning.
Morning.
Everyone have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I know I did. We only had our immediate family, yet we had 40 people at our house, so it was great indeed, and I hope yours was too. Have you ever met one of those people with a photographic memory? We've probably all heard of these people. They can literally remember everything they ever learn. Stephen Patterson told me about a man that was in school around the time he was there, and he would do his memory verses. He would do the memory verses. They'd give him the syllabus for the whole quarter, and he'd memorize all those verses the first night, and so that whenever they called on him, it didn't matter when, he could recite them. He had the Bible memorized as a young man. He could remember anything. I have a sister who barely had to study for her study. She would read through it a couple of times just before the test, and she was good. She just remembered things very, very well. There are people that have this photographic memory, which literally remember everything they ever learned, but that really should be called something other than a photographic memory, because we all have a photographic memory. And you say, man, my memory is terrible, but you have a photographic memory too, and I can prove it. All I have to do is, if your grandmother is no longer living, or if she is living and just not with us today, or even if she's here and she's sitting across from you or whatever, all you have to do is think about what your grandmother looks like, or what your grandmother looked like, and you can have a picture of her in your mind right away. I know you're not thinking of what my grandmother looks like when I say, remember your grandmother. We can remember and we can see those faces because our memory is of such that it generates those memories. We have looked at our grandmother's face so many times that that image still resides within our hearts. And so we have that. We have that picture. And so it seems that the memory is one of those things, however, that if we neglect it, we will lose it, just like muscle tone. I work with a man that's 81 years old, and he said that he does leg exercises every day. He's 81 years old. He has a basketball goal put up in his, that he didn't put that up till he was 80, but he has a basketball goal, and he works his legs all the time. And he says, once your legs are too weak to carry you, you're done. And so he has this attitude that if I keep my muscles good, just keep flexing them, keep working them, maybe I won't get to the point where I can no longer walk. He understands that as we use our muscles less and less, they begin to deteriorate. Well, our memories are much the same. The more we train and use our memory, the better it gets. Subsequently, the less we train and use our memory, the worse it gets. And so there are some things that we would rather forget, that we have a hard time forgetting. There are some things that have happened to us in the past that we may want to forget and we can't forget. And on the other hand, there are some things we really wish we could remember, but we just can't. And I remember talking to a lady, and she was almost in tears, and she said, I have a hard time remembering my husband's voice. I have a hard time remembering his face, but it had been so long since he passed, and I dearly loved him, but I have a hard time remembering him. Sometimes our memories just don't play out. That may be a protective thing that God has given us to protect us from those things, and sometimes those memories are all we have. And I can remember when we were going to preaching school, and we were packing up, the house was for sale, put it on the market, we're going to be moving, we'll never be in Natalia again, we'll be off somewhere else, wherever the road takes us. And I remember one time my son said, Dad, I don't think we should sell the house. I don't think we should get rid of this house. I said, well, we really have to because we're going away and we don't know where we're going to go. And he said, but all our memories are here. I said, oh, well, we're not selling those. We're taking those with us. We're selling the house, which is really the truth. Is fate had it, and providence of God, we ended up staying here, and so we still have our house. So there are many things that we want to try to forget and we can't, and things that we want to remember that we can't. Think about this, where I'd ask you what was the most memorable event that happened to you this whole year, you might say, well, it was the great snowstorm in February. Or you may say it was the loss of a loved one, or perhaps you spent some time in the hospital and that would have been difficult or hard to forget. But what about the blessings of God? What about the many blessings that were bestowed upon us daily? What about waking up on the time side of life every single day? What about being able to look into the eyes of your family, your wife, your sons, your daughter, your husband, your children? What about the freedom to come and go as we please to worship that we have? While there were many places that their worship assemblies stopped and halted completely, then when they started back, they only started back on Sunday morning worship, no Bible class, or they started back and they just go once a month, or whatever the case may be. We've been very blessed here in that we've had worship right here readily available to us, and we have the freedom to come and go as we please. What about the things that we have done throughout the years? We may have forgotten about some mean or insensitive thing that we've done to someone else over the years. However, we're not able to forget the mean and insensitive things that have been done to us. It's very difficult. There are some things that we really need to remember. For instance, the blessings of God, as I mentioned, Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, the verse is a little bit obscure. This is a prayer of thanksgiving to God for His blessings. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It is unfortunate that we have become so accustomed to the blessings of God that we tend to take them for granted. Remember the first rain after a long, long drought. Soon as it gets here, we're excited. It's raining. We got a little bit yesterday, got about a half an inch. People were excited. All the people in my group were texting each other pictures of their rain gauge. Look, we got a half inch. And what do? Whoever got the most, oh, you jokers, man, they got the most rain. What are they doing that we're not doing? You guys always get all the rain, and we joke back and forth with each other. But what happens when it rains for 5, 6, 7 days straight or weeks straight? I remember one time I was working in San Antonio, it rained for 21 days straight and we never missed a day of work. We were there working in the rain. I can remember in River Center Mall, they had 4x4s laying on the ground, on the floor, all the way around, and they were laying in because it was about 2 inches of water, and the 4x4s, they had the electric extension cords stapled to the... So everywhere the cords went, they were on top of 4x4s all over the job site. People were still working. But I can tell you what, the first day that rain stopped and the sun came out, oh, thank you, Lord, it's finally gone. How many times did we pray for rain and pray for rain and pray for rain, and then it came and we were glad when it was over? Just one of those things, sometimes it's that way. Sometimes familiarity causes us to forget those simple but important blessings from God. We also sometimes forget that we have been purged from our sins. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Some of the things we forget. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Purge means to be made free from, to have those wiped out. Not necessarily that we forget, it's just sometimes we take those things for granted. The blessings that we have in this country, we take for granted. The freedoms that we've had, when they told you can't go out, you can't go to the store, you can't go to the bank, you can't go to eat in a restaurant, what did people do? How dare they tell us that? We couldn't do it. Other countries are used to those things. We have taken it for granted that we can just go and come and go as we please. We go to places and we walk up there and we're like, oh, they won't let us in. I thought maybe they were one of the ones that were open already. As things started to open back up in our country, there were still places that were closed, and we would go there, can't come in. Oh, man. Not used to that. We've taken those things for granted. Those who came out of the old law were used to having to make those sacrifices continually. The sacrifice of Jesus, to those people, the sacrifice of Jesus would be something great. Because they wouldn't have to do that anymore. They wouldn't have to go make those sacrifices over and over and over again. And so it would be something to be thankful for. And perhaps they would soon forget. But even history teaches us that that they didn't do that. They actually went back. They reverted back to Judaism. Even though Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, they would go back. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So then, we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, not just the commemorating of his death, burial, and resurrection by partaking of the Lord's Supper, which that is a memorial, and we do that. But by the way we live, we remember his death, and we keep that in our remembrance. Why does he tell us this do in remembrance of me? It's right there on the front of the table. Why? Why is that there? So that you won't forget. Why? Because we're a forgetful bunch. I was reading an article or listened to it. I can't remember which one it was. I think I might have heard it on the radio, and there was an article they were talking about. And they said that over time, your memory starts to fail you, and it starts to break down. And I'm not talking about when you get old, you can't remember things. I'm talking about me and Doug go on a fishing trip, and we go out and we catch some fish. Or I should not use Doug as an example, because me and Doug haven't gone fishing, but I'll use Dirk as an example, because it's actually a real example. He and I went fishing. Okay, and we caught a whole lot of fish. I caught most of them, and he caught a few. And when we came back, it was all great because I had caught all these fish, and Dirk had caught a few too. And that's what I'm talking about. Over time, what happens is we remember things different. Because if you ask Dirk, he's going to tell you, I didn't catch anything. I caught like one fish, and he caught like 30. Or 70 or whatever it was. I don't remember. It was a big number that we caught. I can't remember. Again, our memories. So what happens is this scientist that was on the radio was saying that over time, your memory will start to fail and you will forget little things. I can't remember exactly that. I guarantee you, we went on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. I knew exactly how many we had in the boat. I knew exactly how many I had on my line and how many Dirk had on his line, and he did too. But over time, I've forgotten those numbers. So those little things fall apart. And over time, our memory is of such that it fills in the blanks. That's why when you're talking about a story that happened to you when you were a kid, and you're telling one of your friends, and they're like, that's not the way it was. They remember it different than you did. Why do we remember things different? Because literally, our minds physically fill in the blanks of the things that we don't actually remember. Now, we're told to do this in remembrance of me. We're supposed to remember the Lord. And not only in the way that we do things to remember Him, but the way we live our lives remind us of how we should live. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. We walk in the light. The way we live our lives, the way we walk, that is a remembrance of what Christ did for us. If we put into our minds continually the thought of Jesus' sacrifice, we shall not soon forget. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Israelites were actually commanded to teach them their children about the statutes of God. God brought them, the Israelites, out of Egyptian bondage, and He told them, you need to teach this to your children for generation after generation after generation, so that when they come and say, what does this mean? We can say, this is what this means. They were to build memorial stones so that when the children say, what is this pile of stones for? That is the stones that mark the 12 tribes to show that we were brought out of Egyptian bondage. They were to teach, they would have reminders to help them, remind them to teach their children of the things that happened to them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, they were also supposed to teach them God's way. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You're to teach the statutes of God to your children at all times in your life. When you're sitting, when you're standing, when you're walking, when whatever you're doing, you need to be teaching your children about God's ways. We failed in this nation. We look at that and say, it's an Old Testament command. We don't have to follow it, unfortunately. We have failed in our generation to teach our children. How many children grow up, go to college, and move and leave, not only leave the church, but leave God altogether? Happens over and over and over again. We need to teach our children. It's never too late. Teach our children. We need to remember what we've been taught. I know people who have left the church, people who have left sound doctrine for false doctrine, and have heard the question asked, what happened? Why do they leave? I've heard that question. I'm sure you have too. Why did they leave? What happened with them? Why did they leave? Quite simply, they forgot what the Bible teaches. Perhaps from ignorance. Perhaps from apathy. Ignorance and apathy. I don't know. I don't care. Attitude. But they forgot. Maybe it is that they just let too much man-made doctrine in, too much propaganda in, and pretty soon it crowded out the truth. That'll happen. People start listening to the wrong thing. They start piping in the wrong thing. They start studying the wrong. I know this guy's got this book. He's really great. He's not really a Christian, but he's got some great points. I watch this TV. This guy's got a lot of. He's a preacher and he's preaching a lot of cool stuff. He never preaches false doctrine, but he's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. What's he preaching? We let false doctrine in. We let propaganda in. We let too much in, and pretty soon it crowds out the truth. There's no room for it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Paul is encouraging the young evangelist Timothy. He's encouraging him. Listen to what it says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The things that you've heard around, a lot of people have witnessed you hearing these things. You've heard these things amongst others. Those things I want you to commit to strong people who can be faithful men that can take that out. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's one of the greatest challenges that an elder faces, to commit those things that they have learned to faithful men who will be able to go out and teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself within the affairs of this life. You look at somebody that's in the military and look at their lifestyle. They are not wrapped up in the world things. When it comes time for them to ship out, they ship out. There's no ifs and they don't tell the army says, hey, we want you in whatever. We want you in Florida on Friday. They say, well, I've got some plans on Friday. I'll be there Monday. I've got me and my family, we're going to the fair, so I'm not going to be able to make it. Not what happens. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And he's talking about the soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ don't get involved in the affairs of this world. Don't worry about those things, because we need to please him that hath called us to be a soldier of Christ. Paul is saying, don't forget what I've taught you, so that you can teach others also, so that they too can teach more people. Let's move down to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also be able to obtain the salvation which was in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must study so that we know how to rightly divide the word of truth and not forget it. Study, study, study. I remember when I was in preaching school, I was a first year student. We got to the point where we had to remember or memorize Acts chapter 2. When I got to school the first week, we had orientation. They told us, this is what you're going to do. They made us take a little test, and we couldn't wait, man. This week is over. We're going to be in class. First classes we got, they handed out the syllabus. You look at that syllabus. I've got 5 memory verses for this class at 8 a.m. on Monday, 5 memory verses for this class at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, 5 memory verses for this class at 8 a.m. on Friday. That's 15 verses just this week, my first class only. Wait a minute, I tried to memorize a verse a couple of years prior and I couldn't memorize it. I tried and tried and tried. I couldn't memorize Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23. Now I've got to memorize 15 just for my first class. How am I going to get through this? And so when we got to the point where we had to memorize Acts chapter 2, 47 verses, had to memorize Acts chapter 2, how am I going to do that? I don't know how I'm going to do that. So I studied and studied and studied. I listened to Acts chapter 2 all the way to Austin on Monday morning. I listened to Acts chapter 2 all the way to Natalia on Friday. Back and forth, back and forth. I memorized it. I listened to it over and over and over again. It was hurt. It was a lot of work. It was hard. And I'd sit up late nights and I'd lay down in the bed and I'd be reciting Acts chapter 2. We'd be driving somewhere. Darla would be driving. I'd be on the passenger side. And when the day of Pentecost would fully come, I was asleep and my mouth was moving trying to memorize this Acts chapter 2. How am I going to do it? Once I got it, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe I did this. So I go to one of the second year students. He had been four quarters away from when he memorized it. I said, let me ask you, there's two of them actually. I was at lunch with them and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, y'all still have Acts chapter 2 memorized? One of them said, I could probably recite most of it. The other one said, absolutely not. I said, no? And he goes, oh no. He said, we walked out of that class and it was time to focus on another class. We had other things to do. And I'm thinking, all this work I've done to memorize Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to, in 1 year, I'm going to have forgot it. I'm not going to let that happen. It was too much work. So I've managed to maintain the majority of Acts chapter 2 in my memory. How? By going over it over and over and over and over and over. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Over and over and over. As I lay down to sleep, you can ask my wife. Sometimes I'm laying there, my lips are moving. We have to work our memories and study them. It's just like those muscles. If you let them go, they're not going to be strong. They're not going to look at those guys that were bodybuilders when they were in their 20s and 30s, and look at them now. And when they're in their 60s, they're just dried up. They let it go. Part of that is age. It happens, but we must study or else we're going to lose it. The old cliche, use it or lose it, certainly does apply to our memory as well as good morals. Use it or lose it. If we don't abide in the Word of God, we will soon find ourselves abiding and practicing worldly things. If we allow the world to get into our hearts and into our minds, it will crowd out the things of God. We have to seek those things which are above first. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world. You'll forget. You'll forget what it was like. We can also forget God's word if we let the worldly stuff into our lives. As much as we need to remember, we also sometimes need to forget. Sometimes things happen that we want to forget ever happen. And as such, as much as we try, there are other people that keep bringing those things up. Sometimes we want to forget things that happened in the past. People keep bringing them up, digging up the past. It's sad that some people can commit some transgression or sin. They repent of that sin. They are truly sorry. They're sorry to God. They're sorry to the congregation. They're sorry for anybody that they wronged. They come forward. They repent of that sin. They turn their life around. They want to live right. They want to put it behind them and never do that again. I don't want to live that kind of lifestyle again. I want to repent. I want to come forward. I want to confess my sin. I want to repent. I want to live my life for God. But others have the attitude, well, I can forgive, but I can never forget. I can forgive, but I can never forget. And they keep bringing it up, and they keep bringing it up, and they keep making that person want to go back, or keep wanting to make that person go back to the time that they lived that sinful life. I'm sure and we can be certain that God never had that attitude. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17 is proof. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. If God can forgive and forget, then we can forgive and forget as well, because we're created in His image. Remembering things from the past is often the cause of unnecessary anguish and grief and worry. If you turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, this passage is used so often for forgiveness, as it well should be, but there is something deeper in that passage that we may be missing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, it says, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter didn't quite understand the mercy that God shows and expects us to show one another. How often should I forgive my brother? How about as often as God forgives you? How many times have you gotten down and prayed, Lord, forgive me for what I've done? How many times have you done something and in anguish you cry out to the Lord, forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been that way. I shouldn't have acted that way. Why would people say things like, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget? Is it so that they can stew over it? So they can rub it in? If you ever do something else to offend them, they can rub it in and bring that back? Remember what you did? Sometimes we need to forget. The passage we just read, Hebrews 10:17, had already been said in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. And Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. The God that abundantly pardons, aren't you glad He does? Some things we just have to forget about in order that we may move on with our lives. If we keep bringing to remembrance what the Lord has already clearly forgotten, then we just make ourselves miserable. The remembrance of some things keeps us from moving on to better, more productive things. There's a saying we're all familiar with, or once were familiar with. If you're learning how to ride a bike and you fall off, they say, get right back on and keep on trying. I'm sure it started way back when they were learning how to ride horses. If you fall off, get back on. Just get back on. Get back on and keep trying. Failing to do this will become a hindrance in keeping you from ever learning how to ride a bike. When we can't forget the failures of our past, they become a chain that brings us down. Just like when we dwell so much on some great accomplishment in our past that we set the bar high, or we set the standard high, and we can't ever go past that. I've heard people come in and say, hey, look at this, and they show me a picture on their phone. Look at this buck that my granddaughter killed. She's 11 years old, and she killed a 190-inch whitetail. And I'm like, man, that's a really nice deer. That's a really good deer. And they'll say, yeah, she's ruined. Why? Because she'll never get that kind of, she'll never get anything like that again. She'll always have these high expectations. Why would I want to shoot that little deer when I've got that one? Or I've shot the biggest one ever. Why would I want? And sometimes our human expectations can be hold us back. And they can be a chain that drags us back from accomplishing all that we can as Christians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This passage says, Brethren, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things that would hinder our spiritual growth. Forget about those things in the congregation. Somebody else, oh, this guy, what he's done is just, it bothers me. I can't hardly worship. You know, there are people that have absented themselves from worship because of someone that is here. Oh, I just can't get over the things that he said, or I can't get over the things that he's done. He's lived his life. He's in sin. He's doing this. He's doing that. Really? You're letting somebody else's life determine whether you're in worship with God or not? That's pretty weak. Forgetting those things which are in the past. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things that would hinder our spiritual growth, and remember those things that would enhance our spiritual growth, that we may obtain that prize of the high calling of God in Christ. I know it's sometimes hard to remember, and sometimes it's just as hard to forget, but remember this, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things that are above. Let's forget about all those worldly things that drag us down, all those worldly things that turn us away from God, all those worldly things that are a hindrance to us. Let's forget those things and only remember those great things like Christ suffering on the cross for us and giving His life for us so that we can have hope of eternal life in heaven with Him. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are some things that you must do. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe, Hebrews 11:6. You must repent, Luke 13:3 and 5, Acts 17 and verse 30. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32 and 30. And we must put Christ on in baptism, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and finally we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24 and verse 13. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?